You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. We've been talking about our relationships with animals today. My childhood pet was a bird, a yellow parakeet named Goldie. Having a bird didn't exactly score big with my friends, and I'm pretty sure my mom picked this pet because of the minimal cleanup involved. But for centuries, birds had a very special place in our homes. Before stereos, before radios, nightingales and canaries were trained to sing, to entertain us. I guess you could say they were the medieval public radio. But when producer and researcher Ian Nagoski went digging through old records a few years back, he discovered an interesting turn in this entertainment relationship, man imitating birds.
Pretty much all of my research begins with just the process of going through old 78 RPM discs and seeing what's lying around that nobody has bothered with. I noticed that there were lots of recordings of birds themselves accompanied by musical instruments. It was a pretty big thing. There were hundreds of such recordings made. This is one of those many recordings of some kind of canary aviary accompanied by some sentimental piano music. I can't remember the performer's name, and frankly, who cares? I think it's sentimental schlock. People wanted something pretty to listen to around the house, and in the early days of the record industry, from the last decade of the 19th century through the first two decades of the 20th century, the record companies were really casting around in the dark for anything they thought people might want to listen to at home. At a certain point, I noticed that there were recordings of people imitating animals. In particular, there was a genre of people whistling in imitation of birds.
A good example is that of the catbird.
And so I put the needle on and go, what in the world is this? It would have been recorded in the mid-teens, I guess, about 100 years ago. At first, I would say I was just, delighted by what an interesting, odd skill it was, how exotic it was to our present time. I'd never seen anybody do such a thing.
Here is Alec Walker, the birdman, to teach you how.
No, listen, it's hard. I think it's undeniable that a real virtuoso can't pretty well fool you that they're not being a bird. You know, they sound like birds to me. They sound better than birds, actually, which is odd.
Blue jay.
These bird imitators were live performers. They were stage people who were traveling around playing in church halls, and by and large, vaudeville. They were people who were amazing and amusing their audiences. The best of them, by far, is Charles Kellogg. He was a great performer, and he got very, very rich. Kellogg claimed that he had a bird syrinx, an entirely different vocal apparatus than other human beings, which was not true, to say the least. There's a less polite way to put that, but that was showbiz.
American Robin.
So I've given it some thought, and I think the reason that bird imitation doesn't exist so much anymore as an entertainment thing is because in order for it to be really amazing and wonderful, it's got to be in person. To have it through some media is actually less wonderful and less amazing than to see a human being with the sound of a bird coming out of them.
Plump little California quail.
People have been looking to birds and wondering what it is they're trying to say for hundreds, thousands of years. You know, reveling in the wonder of bird song and how musical, how obviously beautiful it is, and how incredibly foreign it is to us, too. In the opera cycle by Richard Wagner, The Ring of the Nibelungen, the character Siegfried slays a dragon and eats its heart and he gets magical powers. And what magical power is it? It's to understand the language of birds.
And then by opening and closing them, you get the varying volume of sound.
How wonderful that would be. What a perfect magic power to have. How amazing would that be, to know what it is that they're saying and singing.
Like this. Now you have the four sounds that make up the laugh of the kookaburra. And when you can make them satisfactorily, join them all together. Now you should be able to imitate Jackie quite easily.
That was music collector and researcher Ian Nagoski. Alana Gordon produced this story.